The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening today. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is one of those episodes, people out there listening, this is one of those episodes where it's like, we're going to teach you something here. This is a learning episode. Hopefully we'll sprinkle a little bit of fun in there, but this is serious, okay?
Put your learning ears on, as my kids teachers say.
Adjust. In fact, I'm going to recommend that, you know, you listen to this initially. You could be in the car. Don't stop. Listen to it, but you're going to go back and you're going to want to listen to this episode again when you're about, you know, like 2 weeks away from D-Day, right? From wedding day. Or what is D? That's probably a negative connotation, like D-Day, right? Like W-Day?
Yeah, it was a rough day for American history.
Yeah, it's not going to be rough. It's going to be good.
Your Dubs Day.
Your Dubs Day. Like that. Okay. But one thing is, no matter where you're at in the planning phase right now, you might have just began, you might be almost there, you're in the middle. This episode is about the final details, like the list of like those tangible, miscellaneous items, right? Yeah. The kind of shit that can get like, you know, forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Also, that is probably starting to be put in a pile of your guest room.
Yeah.
Or like on the bed of your guest room. It's the pile of like seemingly random things that'll get sifted through and added to, and things will get removed. But it is your trunk full of stuff that you are going to be bringing to set up on your wedding day, basically.
Yeah.
And some final reminders for wedding day stuff that might get left behind, as Michelle said.
Yeah, it might be, you might have a big plastic bin, you know, hefty bin, or an IKEA, some sort of container from the Container Store, perhaps, one of my favorite stores.
I bet.
Might be up a shoved in a closet somewhere, might be in the garage, you know this pile that we're talking about. You've got it, or it's begun. Just right now, no matter where you are in the planning phase, just grab yourself, go buy yourself a clipboard. If you don't already have one, just throw a piece of notebook paper on there and a pen and create an inventory. Just very simple, you know, toasting flutes, grandma's photo, you know, whatever it is. Just keep an inventory. Don't get all detailed with it right now. Just keep an inventory. That's going to save you some time later. But keep a running tally, throw that clipboard in there with the pen, and just leave it with that stuff. Just leave it there. Because later, when you create your final details checklist, you're going to be happy you created that inventory to save you some time.
Let's run through, when we say final details checklist, we're talking about an actual checklist that we both use. For our weddings, they're pretty much the same, but, you know, obviously for every wedding, they're a little different.
Yeah.
But it's a document that has ultimately that's on the clipboard the day before your wedding that has everything that you're bringing. And, you know, if you have a wedding planner or if you're very organized, then it's going to have where these things go and additionally who's bringing them and where you want them at the end of the night. Because some stuff you're going to say just throw away. And some stuff you're going to say, make sure this goes into my mom's car or make sure this goes into our suite. So those notes are on mine as well if I'm your wedding planner. But for the sake of this episode, we're going to run down the items that are most often, so the most typical things that are on this final details checklist. And of course, every wedding is different.
Yeah. So we, so just to break down kind of like a scenario and a visual for this, we generally have a meeting about a week to 10 days before the wedding with our clients, right? Would you say mm-hmm. that's when you do yours? And at that meeting, we go over final details. We go over the wedding day schedule. We go over the ceremony. And we create, at that point in time, is when we create this final details checklist. Because the reason I created about a week before the wedding is because after the meeting, or actually during the meeting, I'm on my computer. I've got my template of all those generic items, right? And then I go down the list and I ask the couple, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? And I create that list and then I shoot them an email of that list right away. And they then go home to their pile and they make sure they have everything together and they get it all organized. And then they give that to me usually at the rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
Unless they've already got it at the venue, at the location prior to the rehearsal. But it's typically like they've got that checklist the day before at the rehearsal, and that's when they hand it all over to us.
Right. And then we, in turn, use the checklist on the wedding day because
yep.
it's broken up into times of day. So it's broken up into ceremony, cocktail, dinner, reception, and end of night, which is where I add all the strike list for what's going in whose car. But this is the document that we're using as our literal checklist. Like we've put the flowers for the virgin under the virgin. So check it off.
Or giving it to whoever's going to offer it to the virgin, if that's
yes.
if you're going to do that. Yeah, it's broken down by event. Yeah, definitely. Ceremony, cocktail reception, dinner reception, end of the night. And I like to use those bullet points that have like the little squares so I can literally check off the square.
It's very satisfying. Yes.
It's so satisfying. All right. So you want to start?
Yeah. So Michelle said, use the word generic. And that's, so this is our like basic template. And we definitely add or take things away in that meeting a week out.
Yeah.
So,
and I'll just say like, it depends on, are you having a religious ceremony, right? Are you having a non-religious ceremony? The type of wedding you're going to have is going to kind of dictate all these tangible mm-hmm. items.
Right. And a lot of this, and some of it as we go, if it says like, you know, chairs for the musicians, that might not be something that we're bringing in our car. We might not be bringing those chairs, but we are going to check and make sure that they are there and the venue has them out for us, or we can grab them and put them where they belong.
Good point.
So I'll go through the first couple. This is in the ceremony category. And the first thing we have here is something that would go at the altar. And we put unity candles with their holders and a fire source, a lighter or matches. We also have a part for actually lighting them, if that is something that's supposed to be done before the ceremony starts, so that whoever's doing the unity candle can come up and take the flame.
Yeah, the tip on this is that me as the wedding planner, I make sure the unity candles are out. But sometimes, you know, candles, for the very first time they're lit, they take a super long time to light because a lot of times they have wax on the wick. So I recommend that when you actually put the unity candles out on the table or altar, that you literally light them. Grab a match, light all three of them, and then blow them out. That way, when whoever is going to light them during the ceremony goes to light them, they're not freaking out because what, 5 seconds feels like 5 hours when everybody's mm-hmm. staring at you.
Yeah, and you know, if you're not doing a unity candle, this might be where we scratch that out and put sand vase or,
yeah,
you know, wine nailing into a box ceremony. Like there's all kinds of things that this could be a space holder for. Have you done that
Did
yet?
Did you say wine what?
You nail a little box of wine, like the box itself gets nailed and the bottle of wine is in there. It's like I'm talking about nailing something on an altar. But
like sealing the box?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Why? What
it's
is
a
that?
Hammer.
I don't know this.
There's, so it's a similar, it's like if you're getting married at a winery, it's like this bottle of wine, 2016 Merlot from the winery, is something that you'll open on your 10th anniversary or whatever. So instead of doing a unity candle, there's four tiny nails and maybe the four parents or the bride and groom themselves. You actually like nail the, it only takes like one whack. It's not like they're up
those
there doing
teeny,
woodworking.
Tiny nails.
Yeah, those little teeny ones. So you nail the box shut. Huh. And it's like a tiny wine bottle box. It's like a
little keepsake.
Coffin.
Like a coffin.
Yeah. And it, like, I've done it before where the parents signed the bottle, you know, with a metallic Sharpie or something. But same idea, you know, something that brings the families together and it is a tangible keepsake.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Ooh.
Okay. And then we have programs. In parentheses, we have place one on every seat in the first row for immediate family. Because the programs will get handed out, but if people are in the processional, they won't grab a program on their way in. A lot of times I have reserved note cards with names on those first rows, too, for families.
Mm.
And that's a little further down on our checklist is have the assigned seatings been addressed with people?
Yeah.
Which we typically go over with family members if they're at the rehearsal.
Yep.
Like, this is your seat. Put your butt in this seat because this will be the seat you sit in tomorrow.
First row, third one in is, you know, grandma.
Right. And don't let anybody else sit here. Sometimes instead of telling the usher that, I just put Mabel and put it right on the
Mabel
note card on the seat.
Mabel. Yep. Or a program.
Or a program. Yep.
Or, you know, something. Mabel's purse.
So the next couple checks are things that people... you're going to check with these people to make sure they have these items. That does the best man have the rings, or whoever's holding your rings? Does
make
the
sure he doesn't
girl,
have any holes in his pocket. By the way, sometimes rentals have holes in the pockets, so check that.
Good hint. And also, usually, or sometimes a ring box can actually look awkward in a pocket or not fit in a pocket. So the rings are just loose in the guy's pocket. And never fear, if there is no hole in the pocket, they're not going anywhere. But it does make it easier because then he just reaches into his pocket. He grabs two loose rings in his hand.
Yeah.
And then the bride and groom or the bride and bride, whoever, each take the ring for the opposite person. This is another thing I physically run through at a rehearsal.
At the rehearsal, yeah. Those little baggies that jewelry often come in, you know, those cloth. Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, with a drawstring.
With a little drawstring, you know, with a, those are a good thing to put them in too in the pocket so you're not showing like a big, is that a box in your pocket or are you just happy to see
totally.
Me?
Yeah, totally.
Right?
We get that joke a lot.
I know. They're just happy to see me.
Yeah, and then speaking of rings, we want to check to see if the ring bearer, if you have a kid in your wedding, the ring bearer has his pillow and fake ring. Or whatever he's going to bring down the aisle. I have ring bearers this weekend bringing down the vow books. So they're actually the vow bearers.
Vow bearers.
Yeah. And does the flower girl have her basket or halo or wings or sign or whatever she's going
to
have?
Let's go back to the ring bearer. Let's go back to the ring bearer. We always recommend fake rings with the ring bearer. A lot of people will be like, no, he's very... You know,
responsible.
You know, that's the word. Responsible. But, you know, be careful. If the ring bearer is under the age of
18.
18. Let's have the best man or best woman hold
the
rings.
Real. Yeah.
I mean, even like I think about my 7-year-old. Can you think about Joey?
I mean, what responsible 5-year-old hasn't swallowed some expensive jewelry in their life?
Oh, really. My God. Have your children swallowed jewelry?
No, they haven't. But they do have a cousin who has a thing for coins.
Did they have just to poop it out? Did they poop it out?
Yeah. I mean,
oh God.
If she only swallows one coin at a time, the parents don't worry about it. But there have been times where she swallowed multiple coins. And then, you know, you have to go to the hospital. I'm not sure. I think ultimately you still poop it out, but... You don't want to deal
sick
with
a
that
lot?
With your
There's
ring.
So many germs on coins. I don't even want to think about that.
I know.
It's
you
disgusting.
Don't want to think about it.
I was thinking about them dropping the rings, perhaps in like a water grate or something. But, you know, swallowing, that would suck.
Yeah. Or just losing. I think that would be,
losing.
As a wedding planner, that would be my main concern.
I mean, they lose their, you know, PS2s. Like, they're going to lose a ring, you know? They lose pencils. How often do you lose a pen or a pencil? Anyway, that's a whole nother. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, then we have the chairs for the musicians, like I mentioned. The marriage certificate. A lot of times the couple will give me the marriage certificate at the rehearsal. I do prefer that. I know some wedding planners are like, no, I don't want it. I don't want to be responsible for that. But I'd rather be responsible for it than maybe have it be left behind.
Yeah, that's a good point, Christy, because depending on where the ceremony is, if there's a room that locks, right, and you feel that all these items will be safe, it's okay to leave them there the night before, valuable items. But you may even have a separate list for the valuable items mm-hmm. that won't get left at the church or the ceremony venue the night before that Christy will have in her possession and Christy right. is to bring on the wedding day. And then I wanted to go back to the chairs for the musicians really quickly. Usually those chairs should not have arms on them because oftentimes you've got like a string quartet, you've got somebody, perhaps the harp, or they've got a violin. So usually try to make sure those chairs do not have arms. They're armless chairs. Ideally.
Right. Well, most folding chairs work. And even the banquet chairs at most venues don't have arms.
Yeah, yeah.
But if
yeah.
you're renting, you know, nice chairs or it's an older venue, they might. And a lot of times the musicians want to be close to an electrical source as well. And you don't want to put your musicians like in full sun for yes. an hour. So they need the shade.
To protect the instruments as well.
Yes. And also if it's very windy, which some weddings I've done in San Francisco outside in the Presidio have been very windy.
Yeah.
And the musicians' papers, the music that they were looking at were just, it was actually very tricky. Yeah. But a lot of musicians have stuff on iPads now, I think, which is easier. But if there is paper and wind, then that might be something you have to figure out.
And they might need shelter over them. You know, most musicians will refuse to play if it's raining outside. Like they won't even do it. But, you know, maybe there's a tent. Maybe they're under the tent. You know, all these. So, this is all side note detail stuff. But
so those are things on the checklist. You may be bringing them. They may already be there. You may leave them the night before. For Catholic ceremonies or religious ceremonies, there's a Bible that is usually a family Bible that is one of the items that you bring. Mm-hmm. And also a bouquet. Generally, it's like kind of a large flat bouquet, right? For the flowers for Mary.
Yeah, it could be just like, it could be even as many as like a few roses to, you know, a nice, beautiful bouquet. Yeah.
And on that, like a side note on that one is for Catholic ceremonies and then also certain cultural ceremonies might have a lot of other items for the ceremony that you will go over with your church lady, most likely, at the rehearsal. Not so much the wedding planner, but the actual woman. Usually it's a woman, but the person that works at the church. So we'll throw them out, right? Sometimes there's coins and rope and extra veils.
Yeah.
A cross, a giant cross.
Yeah. Like these flowers for the Virgin. Some churches require that you offer flowers to the Virgin.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have the sound system. Has the sound system for the ceremony been checked? And that means if you have anything mic'd, whether it's for amplification or for the videographer, sometimes you don't need amplification and you don't have a sound system where the ceremony is, but you do have a videographer and he or she is going to put a lapel mic on your officiant usually.
Yeah.
So this is not something that the bride and groom have to bring, that they have to really think about, but it is something that will happen before the ceremony starts. And that's why it's on our checklist, which is basically a sound check.
Yeah. If you have a microphone standing at some point up on that area where you're getting married, check the sound of that microphone well before guests begin to arrive. Guests will begin to arrive about 30 minutes before the ceremony. So check it, you know, an hour out.
And same with the volume of recorded music if you are having that play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does the bride have her bouquet? Does the wedding party have all of their personal flowers, bouquets, halos, boutonnieres, corsages, all of that. has the assigned ceremony seating been addressed? We talked a little bit about that with the reserved seating for family members up at the front. And we are going to put together a quick focus episode, which is one of our quick 5 to 6 minute long episodes.
Under just 10.
All about ceremony seating. So some people are going to have assigned seats, and where are they going to be, and do they know that they're going to be there? So a lot of times, you know, aunt whoever doesn't actually know that she has a reserved seat, and then she sits somewhere in the back and there's this empty seat in the middle of the second row. Not a lot of times, but it happens.
Yeah.
If the communication isn't there, do the readers all have their readings
mm-hmm.
either at the podium already or in their pocket or, you know, with them?
There should always be runner? Two copies of the readings, one with yes. the reader and one with you or with yes. a designated person.
Or the officiant in their binder, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an aisle runner or is there aisle decor, flowers on the seats or candles all down the aisle? What have you've done? Petals.
Yeah. Petals, candles, bows.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people rope off the aisle because yeah. yeah. they want guests to walk around the. So those ropes need to be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Garlands are really huge right now. And then we list out everything for a Jewish wedding, because these are things that come from the couple or the families. So these are things you would bring with you.
Yep. You want me to list that?
Yeah. This is all set up underneath the
hupa. Well, there's the yarmulke, and bobby pins. That's the little hats they wear, the men. And those oftentimes are out as guests are arriving, so they can grab them. And then there's the huppah, or rather under the huppah. Oftentimes the huppah comes as part of the ceremony, so you want to make sure that's somewhere available and ready to bring down the aisle, unless it's already there in place, in which case that's your kind of altar area, right? And under the huppah, usually there's an easel to display the ketubah, the marriage license, because that's part of the ceremony, the signing of the marriage license beforehand. And then that's usually displayed at a Jewish wedding, and usually on an easel of some sort. And then a little table that usually has the Kiddush cup, a bottle, one open bottle of kosher wine. Make sure that's open in advance. You don't want to be messing around with that during the ceremony. A glass to break, right? So the glass breaking ceremony at the end is very important and popular in the Jewish tradition. We usually don't use a real glass because there's been horror stories of that going through shoes, shards of glass. So we always recommend a nice light bulb wrapped in something, whether it be a napkin, or some people have special cloth bags to put those in. But a light bulb is nice because it makes a nice loud crack sound.
Yeah, like a pop.
And wrap that up in like paper towels and then in the fabric bag. And then there's usually a prayer shawl. And oftentimes that prayer shawl is like the roof of the ketubah. Like that's what...
Or the huppah.
I'm sorry, the huppah.
Yeah.
The roof of the huppah.
Because it's over everyone. That's what's important, right?
Yeah, it's covering yeah. everyone, or at least just the bride and groom. Yeah.
And then we've done Indian weddings and other weddings where there's other items.
Yeah. So much stuff. That's usually the pundit brings all that or is in charge of that. But that's like, that's a list, a page in and of yeah. itself.
And the more you can physically rehearse, for the real meaning of the word rehearse, like that you can actually go through on the rehearsal day, the better.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to pop the light bulb or step on it if you don't want to, but the act of putting the glass down and holding hands and, you know, counting to three or whatever you're going to do, that's all. Anything that involves a physical gesture in the ceremony is good to do that in the rehearsal. The handing over of the rings, walking up to do your reading.
Jumping of the broom for African-American yeah. ceremonies. There's tea ceremonies for Asian cultures, but that's before. There's so many. I love that. I love all the cultural, traditional stuff.
Yes, and I do too. And it's what is going to make your wedding special, whether cultural or just a family tradition. And those are the items that you will be collecting in your guest room and that you'll want to bring. So yep. that invoice inventory list is important from the beginning, like we mentioned.
Yeah. So that's now, about all for the ceremony.
Yes. And now we have the cocktail area. And when we're setting this up, they do go, I mean, everything is done by the time the ceremony starts. Oh, usually. Yeah. I just might pop back into the dinner reception after the ceremony to double check, but everything has been set. So we just have it broken up in terms of our actual work that day. So cocktail reception, one of the main components is that somewhere, most likely you'll have something for seating assignments, whether it's a giant chart or piece of artwork with people's names and table numbers and assignments, or if it's a table with escort cards or tiny potted succulents with little flags in them that say name and table number. Mm-hmm. Some way that the guests during cocktail hour can meander over and find out where they're going to be sitting when they go into the reception.
Yeah. I just want to say that sometimes people think that the seating assignments should be in the ceremony area. Granted, if the ceremony area is the same location as the cocktail reception, then yeah, they'll be there. But cocktail reception is a good hour at least. So it's a good time for guests to walk around and, or rather look for their names and their table numbers and then just like put that in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. Or grab it right before they walk into the dinner reception.
Yeah.
A guest book and pens. We will also do another quick focus episode all about the guest book. So usually it's out somewhere during cocktail reception, and there's just an endless amount of ways that you can do this. This is a way for guests to sign something or leave a message for you that they were at your wedding. So that's usually out in the cocktail reception. Gosh, this is showing how long we've been doing this.
But well, we have some people still do it.
Yeah, a Polaroid camera and paper clips. But this could be, you know, for anything that you want guests to do during cocktail hour, this is where they would do it. Also, somewhere in cocktail reception, there's usually an area, a table or part of a table where people are putting gifts. A lot of times people aren't bringing actual giant gifts anymore, but they might have a card with some money in it. So if you want to keep all those cards in one place, like a birdcage or a shoebox covered in craft paper with a bow on it, that is something you would bring from home, give to your wedding planner at the rehearsal, or bring on the wedding day yourself and put out. So a box for monetary gifts is what we have written down.
Cards with cash.
Yeah. Personalized cocktail napkins, still very popular. But the first time guests are going to see these is during cocktail hour. So it'll be a stack on the bar, and the caterer will get some as well. If there's any past apps, they will have your napkin with like hashtag best day ever, Steve and Kate. And then family photos or engagement photos or even your bridal photos, if you're here in the South where we do that everywhere. So those are all items that might be out during cocktail reception as well.
And what I always add bridal photos.
They're bridal portraits. They're just, you hire a photographer out here. This was one of the things that like blew my mind when I moved to Texas, because I had truly never heard of it. You hire a wedding photographer, and part of their package is an engagement session. That's pretty typical everywhere, right?
Yeah.
If you want it. Well, another part of the package here is something called bridals. And it's where, haven't we talked about this before? Have I
gone
through this with you? It's where the bride meets the photographer maybe like 2 months before her wedding. It needs to be kind of close to the wedding because she was wearing her wedding dress. She has her hair and makeup done. She has her flowers, like a bouquet. So it's like a shoot, basically, but it's just with the bride. And they go somewhere picturesque. Sometimes it's the venue. Sometimes it's totally not. It's just the opposite of what the venue might be. And they take these photos that they're not like boudoir photos because she's in the wedding dress, but they're definitely
glam,
a little
shots?
Sexy, a little glam. Oh. Yeah. And it's just the bride.
What?
And then that picture of like the bride holding the bouquet, maybe looking over her shoulder to the camera, hair and makeup full done. That picture is displayed at the reception, a big one of them. So that is not a thing in California. We can say that pretty confidently.
No, it's not.
That is not a West Coast thing. But out here, it's a really big deal. And I was shocked because I thought, like, oh, it's kind of like a mini wedding. But the more I've talked to vendors out here, it is a chance for the hair and makeup and flowers to have kind of like a second trial almost. Like, they've already done the trial. They've decided on the hair and makeup, but now they're doing it for real and they're going to see the photos afterwards. So if the bride wanted, you know, to make any changes, she could. And the bouquet has been made. And then then the florist makes a replica of that bouquet on the wedding day.
So you're paying for two bouquets.
Yep.
And services of hair and makeup twice.
Yes.
Interesting. And do a lot of these vendors already have that built into their pricing?
A lot of them do. And if the bride, it can be a la carte. So I've definitely had couples that took that out because they only wanted engagement photos. Gay couples certainly don't want the bridals alone because so I've had both gay men and gay women take that out because they just wanted the engagement photos, or honestly couples that are a little bit older.
Yeah,
so
it
going back
like
to that demographic
tradition.
If you're a bride in your 30s, bridals maybe aren't that important to you as if you're a bride in your 20s and you want to wear that dress and you want to get all glammed up one more time before the big day. They're a very big deal out here.
Wow.
So that photo might be displayed.
You're gonna have to add that to your generic.
I do.
Checklist.
I do have it on there.
Huh?
Yes, and I also have signage because a lot of times,
yeah,
both in ceremony and cocktail reception, there's areas where there might be signage, but cocktail, a lot of times there's some sort of signage on the bar, and since the bar is a kind of a big deal of the cocktail reception, there's a framed sign with your specialty cocktails or a list of drinks or, you know, whatever. So that might be something you're printing out.
Yeah, for Matt and Amanda's wedding, there's going to be signage on that. Bathrooms this way,
Yeah. Different. That's all stuff that they're doing and they're going to bring.
Yep.
So if you forget
items.
It, yeah, you're not going to use it again. It's like, this is for the wedding day, so it has to be on a list.
Wow.
So that's all for cocktail reception. A lot of times your musicians will move if you have, you know, the same musicians playing ceremony and cocktail reception. They'll just move over. So those same rules with chairs and everything.
Totes. All right. Dinner reception. So oftentimes, again, depending on your venue, you may have your cake in the location where you're going to be having dinner. You know, if the dancing is in the same place where the dinner is going to be, you might have your cake in that room. So here's where, if you have a special cake knife and server that you've been given as a gift or passed down through generations of family, you're going to have that on your list. Toasting flutes as well. You may have special toasting flutes just for the couple getting married that have been given as a gift. So you want to make sure that those toasting flutes are at the place settings of the couple getting married.
Yeah. Or
favors.
The cake table. Sometimes
Was
they
that?
Want to. Sometimes
or
they
the
want,
cake table.
Yeah.
I usually move it, don't you? Like,
yeah,
I start it where they're sitting and then move it to the cake table.
Yeah.
But they may not drink champagne.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, they might not even have, you know. Or maybe it's those little tumblers that have, like, their initials on them or something.
Yes. Kind of depends on where they want the photos to be taken.
Yeah.
The cake table gets a lot of action. So putting pretty things around it, like toasting flutes and a gorgeous heirloom cake knife and server, cake
the bouquet,
stand.
The bouquet can sit there. A vase. Yeah. That's another thing that's not on here. Sometimes there's an empty vase. If there's a bride and she has a bouquet, what do you do with your bouquet after the ceremony? You don't want to be lugging that thing around with you. Typically, you lay it beautifully on the cake table or on some sort of accent table, or the florist has left an empty vessel of some sort to place the bouquet in. So that's another thing that you might want on your list. If you are doing favors, I mean, there's still people that do favors, right?
Totally. They can be at place settings or a separate table.
Yep. They're either at place settings. They're at a table by themselves. They're brought out later in the evening.
Maybe you put them on the same table that was in the cocktail area that had the escort cards on it. Then it turns into favors.
That, that's a switchover. Yeah, totally. I'm not going to mention that one. Okay. table names or numbers, right? So if you've got lots of guests and lots of tables, you're going to generally rent, oftentimes stands from a rental company or from your caterer, and you're going to display either a table number, or you've named your tables, or maybe they're frames. Maybe they're these really cool frames and you've got, you know, pictures in them, or you've got names of cities. I mean, there's so many. That's a whole nother quick focus, right?
Yeah.
The tables and themes. However you're identifying tables for your guests to know where they're seated. And then place cards. Guests may have chosen in advance what they're eating. Or perhaps you want your guests not only seated at a specific table, but you actually want to choose what seat they're at those tables, right?
Right.
So you may have on the tables themselves place cards, so that when the guest arrives to table 9, they then look around and find, oh, Christy, there's Christy Matthews. That's where she's sitting. And there's Lance right next to her. That's where he's seated. So place cards at the tables. The cards that bring guests to the tables are called escort cards. The cards that are on the tables with names and menu or entree choice are called place cards.
Right.
Menus. You might have printed menus at each place setting, so the guests know are reminded of what they're eating, or if they haven't chosen their entree in advance, the menus are going to show them what they're going to be eating that evening.
Sometimes there's only one per table, if you don't want one at every place sitting. Sometimes there's a large sign or easel, maybe next to the buffet or even at the entrance with the menu on it. But usually there is something that explains what dinner is printed.
Yeah.
So you'll want to make sure that's somewhere that you're bringing it. It's in your pile. It's on your inventory checklist, and you can check it off that day as well.
Yeah. And especially there's people with allergies, a lot of people with allergies. You'll know about this in advance, but that's also good for anybody who might not have mentioned a shellfish allergy or a nut allergy or dairy. Again, photos, family photos, engagement photos, photos of family members who have passed away that you want to honor. You might have photos of great grandma or mom or dad. You're going to want those photos displayed somewhere specifically so that they are honored. What else do we have during? Oh, sometimes there's a slideshow. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have a little slideshow to honor people or honor the two of you. So you want to make sure everything is set up for that slideshow. It might be a computer. It might be a screen. It might be a projector of some sort. Make sure everything's set up for
tested,
the slideshow.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to watch a slideshow is during dinner, because there's going to be downtime when people are eating.
Or have it running in a corner all night. Meander over there or not, but
yeah,
it's there.
There doesn't have to be sound with it. It could just be like, you know, constant photos of everyone or just the two of you. Sometimes if you're still doing having the tradition of tossing the bouquet, oftentimes there will be a separate bouquet for tossing that the florist will create for you. And so that will usually be on the cake table. That's usually on the cake table in a vase.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that is out. And if you are doing the garter toss, you will want to make sure at this time, dinner reception, that the bride has a garter on.
Mm-hmm.
It's under her dress. You want to make sure that that's on.
Yeah. So there's obviously, well, it's obvious to us, I guess, because we're doing these all the time. But there are so many things in a dinner reception that we are, as wedding planners, checking off. The place settings, the wine glasses, the stage, the dance floor, the DJ, photo booth. But none of that is stuff that you're bringing from home. This list, we really wanted to go over things that you might be considering as actual items that you are going to bring to your wedding to set up. So that's what we wanted to focus on this episode is, like, don't forget this. If you're going to have it, you need to bring it. It needs to be there to be set up.
We don't want to leave anything up to assumption. We don't want to leave anything up to memory, because that just leaves too much opportunity for mistakes.
Yeah. There's a lot of, it can be stressful, the couple of days leading up to your wedding. There's family coming in. There's family dynamics. And for some of my couples, the idea of being the center of attention on the wedding day is anxiety inducing. So those are all perfect storms for forgetting something important. Like, I'm a little stressed out. My mom called me and talked my ear off about this or that that was stressful, and I'm anxious, and everyone's going to be looking at me, and this isn't normal. And then, oh yeah, there's this giant big thing that we're doing with our lives and committing ourselves to each other forever and ever. And I forgot the DVD with the slideshow. Something just slipped through the cracks. So that's why you write it down a week before and put it all in the pile and check it twice.
Yeah, and it is good for your mental health. It's a brain dump. You've got all these things floating around in your head. You need to dump them out and put them on paper. Like, just brain dump it. Do you want to go? So then you want to go over the end of the night stuff?
Yes. This is what I would, when you're making the list, think about what you want back and what you want from the wedding at the end of the night, either in your room, like you want it that night, like all of your cards with money in them, or in your mom's car, and you can see it in a week when you get back from your honeymoon. So are we saving the bride's bouquet? Are we saving the top tier of the cake or any of the cake? What about leftover food, unopened bottles of wine? Are the centerpieces, the floral centerpieces, giveaways? Can anybody just walk out with them? Which, in my experience, if you give somebody the go-ahead to walk out with a centerpiece, they will all be taken.
Yep.
Which is actually great, because we throw away a lot of flowers in the wedding industry. It's a sad truth. The floor, if there are rental items from the florist or otherwise, where do all of those get put at the end of the night if the companies are coming back the next day or the next Monday? Mm-hmm. And then what could be considered the most important thing to you, the person getting married, is all of your gifts and all of your personal items from the suite that you were getting ready in, or your shoes that you tossed in the closet because you didn't
want to
wear.
Or all this crap that's on the checklist.
Yes, all the family these personal photos. Items. Where do they go?
Yeah.
I try to, you know, make it as organized as possible, but honestly, a lot of times it's just boxes of stuff. I'm fitting in as much as I can into a box, and I'm walking it out to your mom's car. Yeah. I would say that's my most typical strike. Unless you're in a hotel where you're actually staying, and then I can bring it up to your room ahead of time.
Yes. Most def. Sorry to call this stuff crap. But in the beginning, it's all lovely things. And by the end of the night, when your shoes, when your feet hurt and you're tired of smiling at people and you've eaten
and veil
drink,
is dirty,
it's crap. You just want somebody to deal with it and put it away, because you don't want to be dealing with this crap.
Yeah. And on that note, a lot of times, think about if you'd actually want this stuff in your wedding suite. If you're at a hotel, you might not want all this stuff. You might want the cards with the money in them.
Yeah.
And your personal, like your pants that you wore when you were getting ready. But all that other stuff, maybe send that home with your mom or your sister or your maid of honor, so that you can deal with it in a week when you get back.
Yeah, think about the next morning. If you're staying at a hotel, do you really want to lug all this shit in the car or pay a bellman to do it?
Or go through it?
Do you want to be smelling, you know, the leftover? I mean, think about that. Designate family members that could take this stuff away for you and keep it safe for a week, you know, until you get back, if you are going on a honeymoon, or at least until, like, you know, 5 p.m. on Sunday when you've recuperated, and go grab it from them. Don't deal with that the next morning. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be like a little bit of a chore to go through all this stuff and make sure it gets put away and your mom gets the cake, knife, and server back, and, you know, just all of it. So put it off as long as you can. Don't deal with it the wedding night or the next morning. Just don't. Just say no.
Just say no. All right.
So, yeah, that is our basic checklist. I'm actually going to be making a couple of final changes on my checklist for my wedding on Saturday.
Yeah.
This afternoon. And then print. Then you hit print and it's like,
boom.
That's done. Signed, sealed, and approved.
Sealed and delivered. Yeah. What's today? Today is Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. When's your rehearsal?
Friday, but it's at noon. So I feel like I'm gonna...
I love early rehearsals. Then you have time to like make revisions for the next day.
Absolutely. But I have less time that morning to kind of get all my wedding shit together. So I'm going to do that today.
Okay, good. All right, good. I'm right there with you, man. You could call me on Skype.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Okay, so remember, you're listening to this now. Don't take notes, you know, listen to it again. And let us know if you have any other questions about any of this shit.
Yeah, you could let us know on Twitter. You could go on to Twitter and you could let us know if you had a question, because we have a Twitter account and it is at TBWP Podcast. TBWP Podcast. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com.
Or you could go to Facebook and ask us on our page, our Facebook page. Start a whole conversation there. Piss some people off. Who cares?
If you ask us questions, we will answer them on the podcast for show.
Yeah, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. I think the easiest way to find us on Facebook also is at TBWP Podcast as well. I don't know, both, either way. And then the email, our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. But feel free to, you know, tweet or Facebook post. And thank you all so much for listening.
Yes, we're in wedding season now. So happy wedding season, y'all. It's official.
It's official. It's April. We are in April. Happy planning. Have a great wedding this weekend, Missy Poo Poo.
Thanks. And I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.